from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Bob Walk factor. You know, Bob used to do that where he could be a long man. He could also go in and start, and he was pretty good at both. But, you know, Bob Walk made an All-Star game.
I did know that, actually.
Did you know Jeff Locke made an All-Star game?
I definitely knew that.
Did you know that Jeff Locke blocks you? Yes.
I blocked him, though. Remember I had the blue blocker extension? If you had a blue check and I didn't follow that person, it auto-blocked them for a while. I probably blocked thousands of accounts.
What did I do to get on Jeff Locke's?
More like Jeff Block.
Jeff Locke's bad side. You guys were the show,
that
you and Joe.
That
made fun of Jeff Locke.
Jeff Locke. Gentilly made the tweet that was just his face disappearing into his face over and over again. I'm really.
Did you find that?
I'm really ticked off, though. Sean might be listening. I'll text him about it. I think I've asked him before, though, what happened to the infinite lock, like repeating thing. And I think it got lost to the dustbin of history. That was one of my favorites of all time. Mm. Just Jeff Locke's head disappearing into
another
one.
Whose idea was it to find a bunch of Greg Brown sound bites of him saying Jeff Locke over and over again? Because that person...
That might have been Craig's, actually.
Deserves...
I think Craig
praise.
Did that. Jeff Locke. Jeff Locke! Jeff Locke!
So Jeff Locke pitched in an All-Star game. He did not start. I mean, outside of Doc Ellis, who gave up that home run to Reggie Jackson in Detroit, and Paul Skenes... I think there's only one other man who was a Pirates pitcher who started an All-Star game. There might have been someone else in the 60s, too. So maybe there's like four. But it's not a long list. And the last guy to do it is on the fan hotline right now. For the next few hours, he is still the answer to this trivia question. Who is the last Pirates pitcher to start an All-Star game? And he joins us right now. Had a career where he pitched for over 20 years. Spent a big chunk of it with the Pirates on those great 70s teams. And then went to the Dodgers and had a lot of success there as well. And we're kind enough to be joined by Jerry Royce right now. Started the 1975 All-Star Game in Milwaukee. Jerry, what do you remember about that?
You know, surprisingly, it happened 49 years ago. But since this has come to my attention, I started thinking a little bit more about it. And there's a lot of small details that I thought were buried and I'd never explore again, but... Thanks to the opportunity of Paul Skenes getting the chance to start and somebody doing their research, well, it led me down the path to some great memories.
How nervous were you for that game? You know, you'd been in the bigs for a while. You'd been a 16-game winner a couple of times. You were established, Jerry. How nervous, though, were you getting that start and getting the ball?
Well, I wasn't as nervous as you might think. I was more excited than anything else. What I do remember, and I'll just start throwing some memories out there as we go along, is when I finally got to the ballpark, took the bus from the Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee, and I realized that on that bus, I'm here with a bunch of guys that I pitched against and never even met. And when I walked into the locker room, saw their uniforms in the stalls, just like mine was, and I said, this is something that I've never experienced before. But I tell you, I like the excitement. I never talked to the opposing players because I knew I had to pitch against them. And there might have been occasion when I had to knock them down. Mm. And you don't want to make a friend and then have to go out there, compete against him, and knock him on his backside. So
I like that. Makes for awkward conversation later.
I like that,
yeah,
Jerry.
It does. I said, nice to meet you, rather than looking down on you from 60 feet, 6 inches laying in the dirt. But... No, I enjoyed that. I got to know them, and I found out they're all great guys, and we're all here for one purpose, and that was a singular purpose, and we got a ball game to win, so enjoy this, But keep in mind, we're still trying to win a ball game.
Jerry, that last point is interesting because I think most fans who watch the All-Star game just think that the guys want to be there and it's an exhibition and it's like a, you know, entertainment, it's publicity, all those things. So back then, you guys really wanted to win that game, huh?
Well, I think they want to win it in this day and age as well, but there's been so many other things, like the WWE actually infiltrating Major League Baseball and football with all of the ways that they present their sport. So it's quite a bit different than what it was 49 years ago. To give you an example, yeah, I watched the Home Run Derby last night, yep. A three-hour spectacle. Enjoyed every minute of it, but I tell you, it was tedious, but no fans left the ballpark from what I could see. Now, back in 1975, there was a Home Run Derby. We called it batting practice. And when these guys got themselves together in their groups, all of a sudden you could see the competitive juices flowing. One guy would hit one about 400 feet. The next guy said, "That's nice. Watch this." He'd go 410, 4.25. Next guy said, "You know, that's a lot, but I think I can match that." And then I'm standing in the outfield watching this go on and saying, "This is a spectacle I'll never forget."
Jerry, you mentioned the competitiveness too, and I'm thinking that All-Star game was 5 years after the very infamous Pete Rose, Ray Fosse play in the All-Star game. So that didn't dim, like the memory of that play being fairly recent in the rearview mirror didn't dim anyone's competitive edge, huh?
Well, not mine, because I wasn't involved with that. I had nothing to do with it. That was just a place in All-Star history. So that's something else that you can talk about on another program. Maybe give Pete a call and see what he remembers about that.
Well, you guys used to have feuds with the Reds, though. You guys had big fights with them, right? Didn't you, Jerry, back in the day? You guys used to have some brawls with the Reds.
Well, there's just one. That was in 1974.
That was started
by Doc Ellis. Doc, for whatever reason, believed that our team couldn't beat the Reds. So what he was going to do is incite everyone to get up off the bench, and instead of beating him on the field, to beat him with their fist. That was Doc's logic.
Well, didn't he throw it like the first four or five guys there, Jerry?
Did you guys know that was going to happen, Jerry? Did he give you guys any advance warning? Hey, I'm going headhunting from moment one here. I'm going to keep whistling it to him until we brawl?
Well, no, he didn't say that. But, you know, with Doc, you didn't know when he said something what exactly was on his mind.
Yeah.
So I took it with a grain of salt. Doc said what Doc said, and that was it. That was part of the color of his character.
Do you think he really pitched a no-hitter on LSD? You buy that story, Jerry?
I don't know. I haven't a clue, but I tell you, it's a good story. Hey, listen, bad behavior begets great stories.
Yeah, that is true.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a truism.
We're talking to Jerry Royce with us. Here's the last Pirates pitcher to start an All-Star game. Paul Skeens, 22 years old, the first guy ever to be the number one pick in the previous draft and start the All-Star game the next year. Jerry, your observations from where you are on this guy's rise to stardom in such a short order.
You know, the only thing I can compare this to, and I guess I'm uniquely positioned to do so, is Fernando Valenzuela. When he came up to the big leagues in 1981. Well, he was there part of 80, but when he got the start for opening day and won, he caught everybody's attention. But Fernando came out of nowhere, and he hit the highway running at full speed and went about 75 miles an hour. Now, Paul Skeens, in comparison to that, he hit the highway in a rocket ship. He passed everybody. Now, he was an unknown. He had a history that went back to the Air Force Academy, maybe even high school, Air Force Academy, LSU, briefly in the minor leagues, and has had 11 starts where he hasn't been beaten in the major leagues. That's about as meteoric as a rise as you're going to find in the game. But I love it because it's a great story, and who doesn't like a great baseball story?
Well, they're the best kind, and the thing that has amazed me, Jerry, and you broke into the bigs at 20 years old, so you know what it's like to be young and precocious and be actually pitching at the highest level, but it's amazing to me that a guy that's barely 22 in Skeens, everything we see in the performance, the preparation, seems like that of a much more experienced player. I just wanted to get your thoughts on how unusual it is to see a guy that mature as a pitcher, just as a professional athlete, at this young of an age.
Well, I've seen a lot of guys that came through the minor leagues that had definite ideas and how to get the best out of themselves, only they didn't seem to be quite as talented as Skeens is. So, you know, for him, he found what worked for him. I watched Mark Pryor when he came up.
Yeah.
And he had a way of preparing himself for a ball game as well. Plus, there's probably about a dozen other guys who had different means to get themselves ready for a ball game and to train. So this is not something unusual. What's something unusual is the fact that in a brief major league career, the impact that he's made to the extent that he's been named the starting pitcher in the All-Star game.
And it sounds like you think that's a deserving honor, Jerry, and you're fine with kind of passing the torch to him as now the latest Pirate to start an All-Star game as a pitcher.
You know, passing the torch, it's been 49 years. I made this comment to a friend I talked to on the phone this morning. I retired in 1990. That was 34 years ago. Paul Skeens is 22. Let me do the math for you. He wasn't born until at least 12 years after I threw my last major league pitch.
Yep.
That just gives you some kind of idea of how long 49 years can be in the context of pitching in the major leagues. So from one guy who started the All-Star game for the National League for representing the Pittsburgh Pirates to the next, I wish him all the best. I hope that he's everything that he's billed to be and that when the people around the world get a chance to see him work tonight, that they're going to say, yep, he's everything that he's been billed to be.
And Jerry, you have to also kindred spirit because you guys are both big mustache guys. He's got a great mustache, and you pitched with a mustache for all those years in Pittsburgh.
Well, if the mustache had anything to do with it, making you a better picture, or growing hair had anything to do with it, hell, I'd have grown hair in my palms and on the bottom of my feet.
All right, Jerry. Hey, thank you so much for jumping on with us. It's great to reminisce with you, and I'm sure you'll be watching tonight, right?
No, definitely. I got to see what this is all about. Of course, I like the All-Star game anyway, you know, this is something special because, you know, my name has somehow came out of the ashes and been mentioned again with a guy who's starting for the National League. I'm kind of excited and about being a part of it, at least to that extent, but add that to the fact that it's the All-Star game and the best in baseball are going to perform for us tonight. Well, that's an added bonus. I hope everybody enjoys it.
Thanks, Jerry. We appreciate
it.
Have a great night.
Okay, guys. You too.
There you go. Jerry Royce, the last Pirates pitcher to start an All-Star game until Paul Skeens gets out there in about 3 hours, Malzy.
I'll tell you what, man. Talking to Jerry Royce there, I just hope...
You think your dad knows who Jerry Royce is?
Definitely. My dad and Jerry Royce are almost the same age. My dad's a little younger. Jerry Royce sounds like...
You think John Football knows who Jerry Royce is?
Does it sound like Jerry Royce has had a bad day in the last 20 years? Like
told you he was sharp as a tack.
No, I'm not talking about sharp as a tack. He just sounds like he could sit there and spin yarns forever.
If a guy played for the Pirates in the 70s, odds are my dad knows who it is.
Oh, yeah, your dad made Ed Ott to be friggin' Superman.
Well, he is. And he'll body slam your ass if you disagree.
John Football would or Ed Ott would or both? In this case,
maybe both.
They go Dudley
boys on me. I don't know about
my
dad now. Maybe in his prime.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, "What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition?" You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time.
awesome. It's definitely like his last year has been insane. Probably one of the best years for a baseball player ever. I've gotten to talk to him a little bit. He's a really like mature guy, great work ethic, has a good feel for mechanics and like what he's doing physically at such a young age. I think kind of the sky's the limit. I hope he does well tomorrow.
Tyler Glass now on Paul Skeen saying what he's done at LSU now to the All-Star game, one of the best years ever by a baseball player. Which seems hyperbolic, but really it's not. National championship and an All-Star game start and sandwich in between being the number one pick in the draft. And oh, by the way, you're dating Livy Dunn, who the world loves, 7 million social media followers, and she's gushing about how much she loves you and loves Pittsburgh. Not bad.
I mean,
pretty good.
So he, in the course of answering a question about Victor Wembanyama, says, I don't even watch the NBA. That's for most of our listeners. I don't agree with it, but for most of our listeners, or at least the people who sounded off to me, that's a plus. Now Livy's talking sweet nothings about Pittsburgh. They are truly this city's power couple, Pony.
Why stop there?
First Pittsburgh, now next the world.
How about the sports world's power couple? Move over.
I don't think it
Taylor
hurts.
Swift
I certainly
Travis
don't
Kelce.
Think it hurts Paul Skeens right this second that there is literally nothing going on. It is the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of All-Star Week is usually the slowest 3 days on the calendar because the Open Championship, which typically I think is always the same week, doesn't start till Thursday. You've got nothing else happening. That's why it's a big deal.
I have a question for both of you guys and then our listeners here at 412-928-9370. How important is it for you that Paul Skeens pitches well tonight? How much does that matter?
Not that much.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool if he struck out all three guys he faced and dominated them, but I mean...
So if he just like had just a ho-hum inning where he maybe gives up one run and then he's out of there, faces five or six guys, he gives up a run, and then that's it.
If he strikes out the first two guys and then Juan Soto happens to catch one and sends it into the seats and then he strikes out Judge, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, I don't want Soto to hit it after he talked trash on Skeens. I'd rather have him throw it.
What did he actually say?
He said he's going to make sure that Judge gets an at-bat.
Well, if he talks his trash and then backs it up, you'd have to tip your cap to him.
I don't want to do that, though. I don't want him. Who does he think he is? He's never seen the splinker before.
I don't know. He's pretty good. You think he'll see the Skeens train coming down the tracks, though? Blowing its whistle? That Skeens train? He's going to get run right over? That's a human being, folks. That's Denny Nagel, former Pirates pitcher and all-star with the Pirates, doing a train whistle.
He did not blow into a train whistle that he had handy. He just can do that with his mouth, apparently.
Still haven't figured out still have not figured out how you configure things and how you make the breath go through your mouth to make that sound.
So you're saying really it's just him starting the game is good enough. You don't need him to pitch great?
Yeah, I don't need him to.
Donnie, do you agree with that?
He's been so good that I think even if he gives up a run, it doesn't. Who cares? I felt like I felt like I needed Jason Bay to show he belonged more than like anything, or guys like that I knew.
Oh, that's a random one.
Well, I'm just saying, like, when Jason Bay was having
Freddie
a good
Sanchez.
Year that year. Yeah, I felt like those guys needed to validate themselves because there was still they're in the game because they're Pirates or they're not that great. This dude's that guy right now. I don't need him
so
to prove anything.
So you needed Ed Sprague to hit a home run to
sure.
let people know that,
I needed Carlos Garcia to make a slick play or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, We do have to consider, like, if he gives up a home run to either 2, 3, or 4, I mean, it would be a little bit surprising if Kwan just took him deep.
Although he does give up leadoff home runs. That's his one Achilles heel.
He does. But, like, he gave up the home run to Ohtani when the Dodgers were in town. He also struck him out, so he had more opportunities to face him. Like, if it was just the one time they're going to see him, you obviously want to see Skeens take the edge. But if Aaron Judge gets a hold of one, it's going to go out of there. And so- he's the... AL leader and he's the league leader in home runs. He might hit 60 again this year. It's not like, oh, this guy's a bum because Judge took him deep.
So I say this knowing full well that he's going to have many more opportunities in the All-Star game, but all eyes are on him. He's starting because everybody wants to see him. He deserves it, but it's also because there's this interest in him. There's this demand that people have to watch him. And so far with everything, he's lived up to the hype. I want to see him make a moment tonight, Chris. And the thing about that is people could argue, well, it's only the All-Star game. It doesn't matter. What he does when he faces the Phillies this weekend or what he when he faces the Cardinals next week, whenever they decide to start him again, is more important. Well, to the Pirates this season it is, but I don't think it is to Skeen's career. I mean, right, Dave Parker won an MVP award, batting titles, and a World Series. When the name Dave Parker comes up in Pittsburgh, you know the first thing people bring up? The throws he made in the All-Star game. Like, I do think this is the one exhibition where what you do in this game, if you can create a moment, it does live on forever.
Well, Pedro striking out guys did. Penny to a lesser extent
Reggie
did.
Jackson hitting a home run off Doc Ellis that went out of Tiger Stadium is one of those.
What if he freezes what if he lets a guy get on base, then strikes out the next two? Like, Kwan gets on, he strikes out Henderson and Soto, and he strikes out Judge, but all three of them are on, like, off-speed pitches. There's no just, I blew 102 right by you. Does he need to throw gas right by these guys?
I want him to make these guys look silly. And I want that to be part now of the Paul Skeens mythology that in this incredible rookie season.
Why do you need that or want that? Wanting that I get, but like, I guess what's your motivation? How does that further Paul Skeens' agenda or make, you know, whatever? Is it just selfishly
because
you want?
Because it adds to his myth. It adds to his legend. I want him to continue to accomplish things that make people believe that he's the best we've ever seen. And destroying guys and dominating the best hitters in I know it's an All-Star game, but adds to that. Like, if he just has, if it's a ground ball, fly out, foul, you know, foul ball, pop-up caught, and he goes 1-2-3, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm not going to be. I mean, I just think it's cool enough. We've already crossed the finish line.
If it's walk, double play, line out, like, I want to see him strike out the side.
I'm already just at the point where I'm happy the fact that he's starting the game. Like, I think anything else that happens is gravy.
Oh, that's like the old, I just want a good game.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the All-Star game. He's pitching one inning here.
Okay.
It's cool enough for me that he's going to be the starter.
When people think of Pete Rose, they think of him betting on baseball, having 4,000 hits, and also running a dude over in the All-Star game.
Yeah, but they don't remember that fondly. They think, wow, that Pete Rose was a real a-hole.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that the All-Star game, believe it or not, does create indelible moments and things that people remember about great Hall of Fame players.
Who scored the winning run in 94?
Tony Gwynn.
Good. Just checking. Who had the game-winning hit in 06?
Michael Young.
Our former market manager.
Yeah. Come on now.
Zach Gelb lifting from us, I think, for his show, or being inspired by our show. Zach Gelb clip. The Steelers should absolutely give up a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk on Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, good for him. Congratulations.
You think he took
success.
That from my Mike Silver exchange?
Maybe. I'm just interested. How important is it for you that Paul Skeens does well tonight? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. We'll come back with some calls on that. Plus, what Derek Jeter said about Paul Skeens and what Derek Jeter, would you say he dunked on Colin Cowherd? Did you see the clip?
I know of the clip.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that would be
when Paul Skeens came up, there was dunking.
Remember when Shaq dunked on Chris Dudley, then landed and shoved Chris Dudley into the row of cameramen? I think that's kind of what he did to Colin.
Just watching Paul, I haven't seen him in person. Most guys have an adjustment period, whether they're coming from high school, college, it takes them a while in the minor leagues. This guy stepped right in and it's continued what he's doing. It's dominating. You know, he dominated in college, now he's dominating at the major league level, and that's pretty much unheard of. I think he's the first one to be drafted number one, and then the following year start an All-Star game. It's been fun to watch. You know, over the course of the second half of the season, the league's going to make an adjustment, and I'm sure he's going to make an adjustment to them.
Derek Jeter on Paul Skeens. A game of adjustments. He's anticipating that hitters will start to figure out the splinker, and then it'll be up to Paul Skeens to come up with a new twist on the splinker.
Are they going to figure out the splinker, though? Because pretty much everyone that talks about it says that it's basically a pitch that shouldn't be physically possible. well, to throw as hard
maybe
as he
Colin
throws.
Cowherd should have asked a follow-up question to Derek Jeter about that. Instead, he asked this.
Paul Skeens, Pittsburgh Pirates, dominant guy, overpowering. You faced, obviously, you were in the Nolan Ryan era. But
No.
What,
I
not
never
even
faced
an
Nolan.
Inning?
Slow down. Slow down. No, I was way after Nolan.
Okay,
way after Nolan.
Okay.
You know what I hear there? I hear a guy that's very sensitive about his age. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not that old.
That's the real problem or issue Derek Jeter took with that. Don't try to make me out to be some old head.
Listen, I love dunking on Cowherd because Cowherd, for how great he is at the job,
gets like, a lot of these things
he
wrong.
He gets a ton of...
Well, so did Stephen A. Smith. Also, remember he was talking about like naming guys on teams?
Oh, yeah. He's getting... They both... For how big of a research staff they have, your buddy Danny Parkins, very cool for him. He got to host the Herd two days.
Yes, congratulations on all his success.
And he took... time to say like what an incredible research team and staff, like to put on a show that big that's that popular. It's amazing to me that he gets the stuff wrong or that somebody doesn't prep him better. Technically though, now he got it wrong because he implied that Jeter faced Nolan Ryan. They really did play in the same era. The tail end of Nolan Ryan was only 2 years shy of Derek Jeter's debut. That is basically the same era. Would you agree?
Yeah, Ryan retired in 93 and then Jeter's 95. Year was 95. Yeah. So that's not now, like egregious
the,
miss.
No, but the principle being, the conceit of the question is you faced Nolan Ryan is obviously wrong. But Jeter does come off sensitive about being fit. You know why? He turned 50 20 days ago, Jeter did.
And is he married? Is
yeah,
he with
Minka
the, is
Kelly.
Is he with Minka Kelly?
They have like multiple kids. They have that Jeep Wagoneer commercial where he...
That's right.
I don't understand that commercial. He's supposed to be flying home to them. The weather's too bad for flights. He books like a $100,000 luxury SUV.
I did that once.
And wherever he was flying from is close enough that he drove home in what amounts to the same amount of time.
Yeah, that part is not true, but I had to do that once where I was like, all right, screw it. I'll just rent a car at the airport.
I get that, but like, was he flying from Cleveland to Pittsburgh equivalent? He just wanted to take the 20-minute flight instead of the 2.5-hour drive? What are we doing here?
Donnie, did you watch the show Friday Night Lights? Because Minka Kelly was on there, and she was tremendous on that program.
I watched like 2 seasons. I love the movie. I think the movie is my favorite football movie. The show.
Now there's a take.
I do like the movie a lot.
Movie's outstanding. I think I've said that before.
Hold on. Better than The Longest Yard?
Yes.
Well, we know that intern Dom would say the Sandler remake of The Longest Yard, best football movie. The only thing, Donnie, and I've told you this before, so I won't belabor the point. The only thing I don't like about Friday Night Lights, the movie, is it's set in 1988. They have the cleanest Under Armour sponsored uniforms in a movie that's supposed to take place like 16 years before Under Armour even was invented.
Yeah, I think that's an issue with like those, it, but those, not a huge one.
You know, what are they? The Permian
Panthers.
Yeah, the Permian Panthers. Those are some of the cleanest looking uniforms you'll ever see.
Entertainment Weekly says Jerry Maguire, the best football
it's
movie
not a
of
football
all time.
Movie.
Get out of here.
It's not a football movie.
Entertainment Weekly.
Rod Tidwell.
Rotten Tomatoes, number one football movie of all time. Let's see if they agree with Donnie.
They'll probably have, like, Remember the Titans.
Never saw
Little
it.
Giants.
I love Little Giants.
Icebox and Spike.
Love Little Giants.
Ed O'Neill. Rick Moranis.
Yep.
I was actually lying. They do not have it number one.
What do they have?
Something called Undefeated. I've never heard of it.
Undefeated?
And then Heaven Can Wait is too. That's actually a pretty good movie.
Never seen it. I recommended a horror movie to
so
Amanda.
So where's Friday Night Lights?
Friday Night Lights is fifth behind Jerry Maguire again.
That's Tom Cruise bias right there.
And Rudy made the top 10. Get out of here.
We need some Billy Bob Thornton bias.
We should have there should be a documentary on what the real Rudy was like. How about we do that? Instead of doing this stupid movie that glorifies him, let's get people
narrated
to know.
By Joe Montana.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners.
It's not fast food, but it's so good.